Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to Cocktails and Conversation. I'm your host, Erica. And with me, broadcasting live bright and early each and every Saturday, is my fabulous co-host, Robin. You can catch us broadcasting each Saturday on Blog Talk Radio at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to keep up with what is going on in the world of pop culture, check out our blog at www.cocktailsconversation.com. Good morning, Miss Robin. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm okay. How about you?
Oh, no. Under the weather, that's not good. I am doing just fabulous on this Saturday morning. So are you fighting a cold?
Yes. Yeah. You know how you get the in-between weather cold.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make sure you take something.
I shall. How was your week?
Week was very busy. Very, very busy, but busy is good. How about yours?
Good. That's good to hear.
Okay. Well, look, there is a lot going on. We have got so much to talk about, so let's jump right into it. So, you know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about the VH1 train wreck of a show, Sorority Sisters, and how I was totally against it, and we talked about how the Black Greek community was in uproar and went on this Twitter campaign against the advertisers that were showing their commercials during the show. They figured that, you know, instead of trying to get the show canceled, you know, by complaining about the show to the producers and to the network, they decided to take a different approach and to hit VH1 where it really hurts is in their pocketbook. And it seems as if it worked because we are saying bye-bye-bye to the Sorority Sisters. It was announced earlier this week that VH1 is pushing the debut season of Sorority Sisters to a quick end after, of course, you know, they faced criticism for how the reality show depicted Black sororities. And it said, and I haven't confirmed this, but that they were to air their last three episodes of a 10-episode package yesterday. So apparently they were playing a show, the episodes back-to-back on Fridays, and that's it. There has been no news on whether or not they're going to show repeats. You know, a lot of times with reality shows, after they end, they do these marathons. But I think that's it. That is it for them. And we talked about it last week, but I mentioned that two of the cast members on the show, they've actually been suspended by their sorority. So I'm curious to see if there's going to be any additional backlash for the other girls that are on the show. But what are your thoughts about it, Robin? I'm happy. I'm doing backflips.
Bye, Felicia. See you later. We do not need that on television. Mm-mm. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was good, too. Now, if they can just get the other show that I hate it, is Married to Medicine. I hate that show.
What is it?
And that's Married to Medicine, and I believe that's a Bravo show, if I'm not mistaken, but I cannot stand that show. You've never watched it?
I watched one episode, and the ladies seemed a bit catty. No, not a bit. They were catty. So it was even a different kind of cattiness than Real Housewives. It was weird. So no, that wasn't a show I ever paid attention to.
Yeah, I was not an avid watcher of that show, but like you, the few episodes that I did watch, I really wasn't impressed. I think the thing that I just don't like about it is that these are women in the medical community. I mean, these are doctors and, you know, dentists. Mm-hmm. that are just behaving badly. So I don't know. I'd like for that show to end too. I mean, it's nothing like cutting on TV and you seeing your OBGYN on TV trying to pull off somebody else's weave, you know?
Read somebody.
Not a good look, not a good look. So, Robin, let me ask you, if you had the opportunity to be on a reality show, if you were, you know, approached by producers, would you do it? And if so, what type of reality show would you like to be on? Or
you know, I often thought that I would be interested in doing something like that, but the invasion of privacy just has to be so uncomfortable. I don't think I could deal with that. I mean, when you look at some of these shows, I can't remember the one I was watching this week, and they're in your bedroom. They're everywhere. I don't think I can handle that. So, you know, if I could get over that, what kind of show would I want to be on? I just probably one about me and the kids and our daily lives and being a parent to a you know, single mom to two kids, and one has a passion that he follows. The other one is trying to figure out what her passions are. So just something like that. But you know, reality shows just have a depth of people sometimes, especially
yeah.
relationships.
Yeah, I think you have to be a strong individual. But now, there's some additional controversy. Now, I am not a big Love and Hip Hop fan. Do you watch that show?
Do I like what?
Do you watch the show Love and Hip Hop?
I do, yes.
Okay.
It's
so
hilarious.
I'm sure that you are up on the whole Peter Gunn controversy.
Well, I watch that one not as much as I do the other ones. So when you say controversy, are you referring to that he was dating a lady, they had two children, and they were in a relationship, then he met somebody else and married her, and now she's pregnant, and those two ladies are kind of like best friends?
No.
They're not best friends because of they were best friends before, but because of what's going on, they become friends.
Okay, well, I don't know if they're going to be friends after this season, because the latest buzz is about rapper. I guess he's a rapper. I don't even know what he does, but his name is Peter Gunn, and
he's a producer.
A producer. Okay. Well, apparently there's a lot of talk going on about a past episode where he took the mother of his two sons on a vacation to a tropical island. So they went on a family vacation while his wife was at home waiting to deliver their child. And he told his wife that he was going, you know, to this island because he had been approached by an energy drink to be the face of the energy drink. So in essence, he lied to his wife to go on vacation with his baby mama and two kids.
So the baby mama has been around for, I want to say, they're probably high school sweethearts. He just did not marry her. He promised to marry her, but he never did. And I don't really know why he did marry the wife. I don't understand that piece of it. It was like he left the baby mama, went to be with the wife, but he was still with the baby mama. So you have this little term, wifey, as they call it. The baby mama thought she was the wifey, but he never officially married her. I have seen pictures of the baby mama and the wife together, most recently as a month ago at a party together. So these reality shows are taped, 6 months ago? I don't think that little vacation has affected anything. Because it's like a little sick triangle.
Yeah. Well, it's bad. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, you are, you know, if you were dating a guy who was either in a, previous marriage or previous relationship, and he had kids in that relationship, would you allow him to go on a family vacation with his other family?
Not without me. Nope. No. And that's what he, she was trying to justify the trip with her friends, because she still loves him. And they were having a conversation, and the girl, he lied to her because he had met the baby mama for lunch. And she saw them, and the girl was in the streets crying. So the baby mama came out and talked to her and was like, "You don't understand. This relationship is complicated. I love him. He loves me. It will always be connected. So you're just going to have to deal with it." Was essentially what she told her. But I, no, I'm sorry. If you want to go on vacation with them, then you need to be with her. What are you with me for? Or we all need to go on vacation.
So you're okay with the whole gang going on vacation together?
I would be if I went. You have to, this blended family, is very important. My sister is married to someone who has one, two, three previous children before they were married, four previous children before they were married, and have gone on vacation with one of the baby mamas because his son played in a game somewhere, someplace for Bowling Green. So they all traveled to go to this game. So now that's interesting too, because most recently, baby mama and my brother-in-law went on a trip because their son was playing in the bowl game. My sister couldn't go. So there you go.
It can
I
work.
guess it can work. It depends on how much you trust your mate. Now, in this situation with Peter Guns, he is non-trustable. So she knows that they're probably sleeping together on this exotic vacation. And, it's just a different situation from what I just described with my sister. But yeah, that is a love triangle, and somebody is going to end up getting seriously hurt. And
Yeah,
don't
it might be, and it
understand if
doesn't help that Peter Guns has what, eight kids altogether. So, what does that say about him? But what do I know?
he is so non-cute. I just like, what is it? I don't understand.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I would have to agree with you there. But I guess they like it. I love it. So we could just keep it moving on. Now, Robin, you had mentioned actress, Glee actress Naya Rivera. She got herself caught up in a little bit of controversy this week as she was co-hosting on The View.
Stinky Pete. So she was on The View and was having a conversation, and it happened to come up something about showering, and her comment was, "White people shower more than ethnic people." She is married to a Caucasian, and she went on to explain how her husband showers two, three times a day, where she may only shower every 3 days. So, of course, Rosie O'Donnell is looking at somebody in the audience, a black lady in the audience, and she was like, "Well, I don't think, this lady agrees with you. I think you're going to get some flack on that." She was like, No. I have been told by a dermatologist it's only necessary to take a shower every 3 days." I don't know about you, Erica, but that is nasty. Every 3 days? That's disgusting. And I think that a lot of people are falling, coming back on her, like, "Don't speak for all of us. You need to just speak for yourself," if that's the case.
All right. Seems like we had a little bit of technical difficulty.
Uh-oh.
Are you there, Robin?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, so you're talking about Naya Rivera.
Yes. And I don't know how much you heard, but about the controversy. She was on The View, and she apparently is married to a she is married to a Caucasian man, and her comment was, "White people shower more than ethnic people," because she said her husband takes 2 to 3 showers a day, whereas she only takes a shower every couple of days. And that she was backing this up from information she had heard from a dermatologist that it's not necessary to shower every day. So as you can imagine, the ethnic community was in uproar about, you know, her cleanliness and her reference to how many times people take a shower, because I think I'm ethnic, you're ethnic, and would you say you take at least one shower a day, Erica?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. It's not two. So I was just like, ooh, she is foul. So as you know, her co-host, she must be a little gamey to be around.
Okay, so I saw, you know, I saw the episode when she originally made the comment. And, you know, like you said, she was actually commenting on an article that she read that was posted by a dermatologist that said that it's really not necessary for you to take a lot of showers throughout the day, that you could take, you know, you can skip a day. Just because, you know, it's not good for the skin, it could be very drying, especially if you take extremely hot showers. So what she was trying to say is that, I don't think she was saying that, you know, black people don't shower. I think she was just comparing the shower habits of her husband, who, like you said, happens to be white, with, let's say, the shower habits of her mother, who she quickly, you know, indicated that she was, you know, part Puerto Rican and part black, and I thought Puerto Ricans were black, but okay. But, you know, that her mother takes a shower once a day. And you're right. People were up in arms about her comment. You know what? When I saw it, I was just kind of like, huh? What? I didn't take offense to it because I know my showering habits. But, you know, I am not that compulsive OCD person, and I don't have to take 3-4 showers a day. And I do know people who do take at least three showers a day.
I do too.
So, but she did come back onto The View the next day, and she did apologize for her comment and said that, you know, if she had, you know, offended anybody, she is deeply, you know, sorry. She didn't seem very remorseful because I think, you know, in the back of her mind, she's kind of like, come on, people, really? But my question to you is not how frequently do you shower, but do you think people may have overreacted to her comment?
Well, you know, I think they were taking it as if black people don't shower, and I don't think that's what she was saying, but what bothered me was she don't take a shower every day. That's funky. When you wake up in the morning, you have sweated during the night. Your skin has sloughed off. And I know that sounds disgusting, but it's truthful. You need to take a shower. Like you said, I don't do 2 and 3 a day. I have, especially during, you know, when you're working out, you have to. But I know I used to date a guy, and he would shower before he went to the gym, when he got back from the gym, and then that night. So I thought that was a bit much. But then I started doing it, and it is a difference when you shower before you go to the gym, how you smell when you leave the gym. So if she is only showering every third day, every whatever, that is nasty. And is she, like, washing up at least in between? I hope so. I see why Big Sean left.
I think she is. And I will say, I'll be the first to admit, in the wintertime, especially when it's extremely cold outside and the air is extremely dry, I will, you know, take a shower at night, and in the morning, I don't necessarily take a shower. I will wash up and hit the hot spots, but I don't necessarily get in the shower, especially if time, you know, there's a time crunch and I have to be somewhere really quickly, I won't take a shower, which I think is okay. You're not doing anything when you're sleeping anyway. unless, you know, you are of a certain age and you're having private summers, then you may want to take a shower. But, you know, I'm not at that point yet. So I think it's okay. And to each his own, to each his own. I think people overreacted. I think it was one of those, just let people say what they're going to say, and she's entitled to her opinion, whether you agree or disagree. I just think people were all up in their feelings.
To each his own, but I'm going to tell you, if that joker is getting on elevator with me, I think I'm going to rethink it.
Okay.
Yeah, nah. It was a little bit of a reaction, but, you know, I don't know. It was a comment that she didn't need to make. Maybe she was just trying to be relevant in the conversation.
Well, she said she's trying to make a joke. So, I mean, you know, it's really not considered a joke if you're the only one that's laughing. So, anyway, Maya, stick to acting in Glee and leave the jokes to Kevin Hart. Also in the news this week, Usher Raymond has a new boo, his fiancée, Grace Miguel. Now, Usher is 36, and I want to say that his new boo is, like, in her 40s, so he's got him a little cougar.
He likes cougars.
He does. He does. Actually, his wife is 42 years old, but she is his manager and has been his girlfriend for more than 5 years. And, you know, according to Us Weekly, they are extremely happy, and things were done, you know, their relationship has evolved in a very sweet and romantic way, according to their close friends and colleagues. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that he's very excited. He can't wait to spend the rest of his life with her. And, So now, you know, Usher has two kids by his ex-wife, I'm going to call her Teresa, Tamika Raymond. And we know that he has primary custody. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she's of a certain age. Maybe, you know, she doesn't want kids. I think Usher's good. But I wonder how his mother is, you know, accepting this, because, you know, she was very vocal about him marrying Tamika Raymond. She didn't like it not one bit. So I don't know if because, you know, this other woman, you know, started off as his manager and, you know, a relationship, you know, evolved as a result of them working closely together, if she's okay with it. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see. They look very happy.
Well, if anything, I would think that would make his mother more upset, because his mother was his manager and he fired her. And I don't think this lady was hired right after the mother wasn't the manager.
Mm-mm.
But you know, she might have some ill feelings, but if she's smart, she will just, you know, learn that her son has to make his own decisions and go with the flow, because that was a big problem, as you said, between Usher and Tamika was the mom. And Tamika was his stylist to start out with, right?
I think she styled him a bit. But, you know, I think, and again, from the outside looking in, you know, hopefully, now that Usher has grown and he's matured, you know, and he's been down the marriage road and divorced, so he knows what doesn't work in a relationship. You know, maybe his mom will be a little bit more set. Maybe he's ready, too. You know, it seems to be that maybe, you know, he's ready to settle down. And, you know, this woman, she knows the business. She's been in the business. Now, him firing his mom, I could have swore I read a report that, you know, he just felt that it was time for them it was time for him to kind of break away from her, because there were times when he just needed her to be a mom and not his manager. And now, you know, that he was a single dad, I'm sure that, you know, his mother played an integral role in, you know, helping to take care of the kids. So, you know, she hasn't been in the news lately, so I'm hopeful that she has adjusted to just being a grandmother and a mother, and she's embracing that role. And I'm sure he's taking care of her, so money is not an object at all. Not an issue.
it's not Omarion situation. I don't know if you watch Love and Hip Hop.
No, I don't.
What was that? Girl. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, it'll work out for them. Congratulations, Usher. I'm sure you have made a lot of women upset by this announcement.
Well, I mean, girl, look, if I knew that he was into older women, you know, then, you know. But anyway. So Oscar nominations came out this week, and I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised with the nominations. What about you?
Well, right at this very moment, the only movie I can think of that I'm familiar with was American Sniper, and that just came out today, and the nominations were 3 days ago. So all the other movies mentioned, I don't even know what they are. Now, the big controversy, of course, is no diversity. No diversity. And that I don't understand. But what am I going to say? It's like that every year.
Yeah. You're right. There's a lot of backlash due to the nominations because it is, when you look at those actors and actresses that are up for awards, it's very vanilla, very one-dimensional. There's no, like you said, diversity. No, there are no ethnic people at all. No Latinas, no Asian Americans, no African Americans,
no Indians.
Nobody. So if you are not a white male or female, you have not you're not being nominated. So I mean, what does this say? Do you think it says anything?
Well, and then I have to say to myself, as I reflect back on the year, who would I have nominated? And honestly, in this moment, I can't think of anybody. If I did some research, I'm sure there would be someone. I heard that Denzel's movie was really a good movie. But
the Denzel movie.
I think Invincible, I believe is the name of it. But I think it's like a character he's played before. So that wouldn't have drawn any excitement. Yeah. So, if they can nominate American Sniper, which hadn't even come out yet, why not Selma, which was an excellent movie? I don't get that. I think it was nominated for film score, and it might be in the best picture category. I can't remember, but definitely some of the actors and actresses in that movie should have been nominated for something. Just my opinion. So I don't know. Is there a movie that you would have thought would have fit to be nominated?
Well, let me. You know, I was just looking at the list real quick. Selma was nominated for Best Picture. So
okay.
We do have,
so they were.
You know, However, when you look at, you know, the best actor and you look at the best actress and actor, those actors and actresses within the movie, they did kind of get snubbed. And typically when a best picture is nominated, you usually have one of the actors within the picture that has been nominated. And what I found interesting was one of the movies or one of the actresses that is up for Best Actress in a Lead Role is Rosamund Pike, and she played the lead character in Gone Girl, which starred Ben Affleck. And I can tell you, Gone Girl was a great movie. Did you get a chance to see that?
I did not, no. But it looked like it was a good movie.
Very good movie. I do have the book, and I have not read the book. It's actually sitting right here on my desk with a note that says, read me. So, you know what? I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, it took forever and a day for us to get, you know, to have a black actor and an actress awarded, you know, Best Picture. I mean, Best Picture, Best Actress, you know, when Denzel and Halle Berry won. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I do think that Selma is getting snubbed a little bit. Now, I have not seen the movie Selma. Have you seen it?
I did. Kyle and I went to see it Sunday, and he was wrapped up in it, you know, being he was 15 years old. I was amazed at how much history he already knew, but how much he gained from seeing the movie. And as we broke it down afterward, you know, he was like, this is a certain part where he actually was going to get emotional. He was like, no, let me keep it together, because I was in there crying. And so when we left the theater, I actually encountered a woman who was just sobbing. I want to say she probably was Mexican, just sobbing as we left. And her response to me was, we are still going through this today. And I just gave her a hug, and I said, we just have to continue to pray and be there for one another. So it was, after you leave the theater, you definitely feel something about the movie, and hopefully it will raise awareness for what Dr. King tried to do and how we still got a lot of more work to do. And that's a great movie to me. I'm sorry. I was going to say, that's a great, something that has you thinking about it after. That's a great movie to me.
I agree. A movie that, you know, thought-provoking and make it you to, you know, look at the world a little bit differently. And, you know, a movie that makes you act, I think, you're right, is a great movie. I haven't seen it yet. It is definitely on our to-do list, and I thought, I was telling the kids this week that we should take some time to go see it, you know, this weekend or maybe even see it on Monday, seeing that they have, you know, the holiday off. Now, are you planning on doing anything? Well, first of all, do your kids, do they get MLK Day off at their schools?
Yes, this is not Arizona. Okay. They get MLK Day.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yes, they do get that day off, but I'm working that day. It's not a holiday per se for the hospital. And our holidays are different. We have to take vacation pay when we take holidays. So I don't really want to take a vacation day for that. So I'll be at work and they'll be at home probably asleep.
Well, a lot of people are pushing that, you know, don't take it as a day off, but do a day on and do an act of service. So for those of you that are, you know, fortunate, like, you know, and able to, you know, not have to work, I encourage you to do something for your community, whether it be big or small, but do an act of service. I think Dr. King would definitely be happy about that. But I'm planning on going to see Selma. I don't necessarily have the day off myself, but I plan on taking a half a day and taking the kids to go see it so that we can talk about it.
I think you'll enjoy it. I really do. It's a good concept, a day on. I like that. I have to do something.
A day on.
Now I have to do something.
Go ahead. Well, you know, new year, new challenges. And I think we talked about it before on previous shows, but you and I are both doing the Budgetista's 30-Day Live Richer Challenge, which is a free challenge that she's offering online. There's a Facebook group. I think it's called Dream Catchers, and I'll make sure that I have links on both my Facebook page so that you can check it out. But how are you doing in the 30-Day Challenge? We're in, well, really getting ready to come to a close of week two, right? So how are you doing so far, Robin? What are your thoughts about the challenge?
I love it. I'm doing well, probably not as, I don't know what the word is, but I'm not as, every day I'm not completing the task on time, I guess, as diligent, that would be the word. But I am definitely doing it. I read the emails every morning, and I'm motivated by Tiff. I mean, 9,000-plus women have signed up for this challenge, Erica. That's just amazing to me. So my takeaway for this week, I am 44 years old, and this was the first time I ever actually sat down and did a budget. And when I did that, I looked at it and said, okay, you are really spending money in non-essential areas. And so there's not a lot of money left over at the end of the month, but there definitely is something where I could be rolling that over to a savings account or doing something more productive than living paycheck to paycheck. So
now,
that was
what,
an eye-opener for me.
So now, where do you spend the most money at? When you say, you know, non-essential items, what area is sucking you dry money-wise?
Thoughtless shopping. Thoughtless shopping. You go to the grocery store and you get things you just don't even need. And not that you don't need, that aren't essential for, you know, if I'm trying to focus on saving money, I don't need lobster cakes. You know? And just when I'm walking by, I'm like, oh, that's not, $7 not that bad. And I just throw it in. No, I didn't come to the store for that. I don't need it. So just things like that. And going to the mall. When I was a little girl, my mother would give us each payday, it would be my turn to shop or my sister's turn to shop or my mother's turn to shop. That's how she designated it would break down equally for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to the mall probably every week. Every Saturday, we go to the mall. And I think that's just something I inherited. Now, I'm not going to the mall every Saturday, but it's like when I go to the mall, I'm like, okay, I want to get something for me this week. And then when I go back another time, okay, it's Kyle's turn. That is non-essential shopping to me because I don't need to do that. They got enough clothes. I have enough clothes. It's not necessary. So I am just changing my mindset. Like now I need work shirts. So I'm like, when you go, don't look at no work pants. Look at work shirts. And that's something I have to do. And if, you know, if I could ball out of control, it'd be wonderful. But I don't have that that luxury. And I think I might think that I have that luxury, but I really, really don't. And so what happens is I'll go and spend the money, and lo and behold, PG&E is doing, I'm like, I'll make an arrangement with them. And that kind of stuff, I need to stop. That's what I mean by non-essential spending.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think the first step is, you know, you've taken the first step by identifying where you're wasting money, basically, and where you can take that money and, you know, put it into a savings account and watch that money grow, or you can pay down some debt that, you know, you may have that's kind of looming. Or like you said, instead of, you know, buying things that you really don't need, pay that utility bill on time so that you don't incur any type of service, additional late fees or anything, because, you know, you can easily get caught up in that web and that cycle. It's funny because I was looking – well, you know, I can say that as far as, you know, areas that I can improve as far as my spending habits, because I work from home, I don't eat out, which is good because I'm too lazy to get in my car and drive to go get something to eat. And, you know, it's been a godsend for me because I'm like, you know what, the refrigerator's right there. Make yourself something to eat. But I would say mine is subscription services that I have. So, like, I have two subscription services that I've had for, gosh, years. So I don't even want to tell you how much money I've spent over the years, but one is to the makeup subscription service, Ipsy. It's $10 a month, which really doesn't seem like a whole lot. But when you add it up over years, you know, that's money that could have been saved. I really need to cancel that. Now, I do enjoy getting the little bags every month and looking at the makeup. But again, because I work from home, I don't use the makeup that much. So that's something that I can definitely cut. And then I also have a scrapbooker, and I have a Studio Calico subscription, and they send me these little kits every month, and that's about $25 a month again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking right now in my craft room, and I've got all these kits, and I haven't done any scrapbooking in probably 12 months. So that's probably another subscription that I just need to, you know, put on hold for a while until I can use the stuff that I currently have and then start back on again. So there right there is $35 a month that I could be saving, you know, or putting towards something else. So, but, you know, just like you, I'm not on top of the challenge. I'm kind of, you know, for 2014, I'm doing something a little bit different, and I'm kind of going at a slow pace. You know, usually when the new year starts, you're gung-ho, you've got your goals for the year, and you try to hit it hard. And, you know, I don't know about you, but for me in the past when I've done that, probably around month two or three, so usually by end of February, early March, I burn out because I'm just going hard. And this year, I decided that I was going to kind of ease into 2015. So instead of hitting it hard from the very beginning, I'm just going to kind of ease into it. And so far, it's been good. You know, I'm not beating myself up over, you know, missing a couple days. You know, some of the days that Tiffany had on the challenge is more about reading.
Yes.
So I'm really not beating myself up about it. And, you know, I figure I don't think anything miraculous is really going to happen in the 30 days outside of you just forming better habits. But, you know, I think as long as you finish the challenge, it's a good thing. So my 30 days may be, you know, may have a couple of days in between that I've taken off. So it may not be 30 consecutive days, but I'll definitely get through the challenge. So.
Yeah, and that, I am so on board with you when you're saying you're easing into it. And, not putting that pressure, oh, my God, I didn't do this today. It's okay. Tomorrow's another day. You can still do it tomorrow. Because I know at the first week of the challenge, every morning I was jotting on the spot, reading all the emails as soon as I woke up. And now I'm like, okay, when I lay down at night, I might read the email and maybe I'll do the challenge the next day. But I think as long as you're just focusing on trying to improve yourself, that's the important part. It's not a race. It's not a, you know, nobody's getting a gold medal at the end. Just try and make yourself. But I will tell you this one other, as Oprah will call it, aha moment. A lot of times, because my children have friends and they come from two-parent households, and I'm like, you know, they'll come to me and they may want to do something, and I'll say, well, you know, it's only me. I'm the only one doing this, and they have two people over there doing that. And I had to stop saying that because it was limiting myself and my mindset, and I had to think of two-parent households where maybe only one parent is working, the other one be a stay-at-home mom or even a stay-at-home dad, and they're still, you know, able to do, you know, take care of their basic needs. And so I had to get the mindset of it's okay that you're doing this alone and you can do it alone. So that has been one of the other things that have come out of this challenge for me. So it's really been a good one, and I hope that it's just as eye-opening for the other 8,998 people that are on the challenge.
You know, and I can say, you know, for those people who are listening, who are, you know, trying to figure out, like, when the heck are you guys talking about, I want you to check out Tiffany's site. Her name is Tiffany Alite, otherwise known as the Budgetista. The challenge site is www.liverichercallenge.com. A wealth of information on the challenge. There's a Facebook group that you can actually join. I think it's called Dream Catchers Live Richer Challenge. The Facebook group has been a great resource as far as information and suggestions on what you can do. She's got, you know, some great women that are participating in the challenge and keeping the conversations going on the Facebook page who have, you know, experience in, you know, rebuilding credit, tips mm-hmm. on how you can reduce some of your bills. I know one of the challenges was to, you know, find areas in which you can save and cut back on. And a lot mm-hmm. of women were reporting, you know, that they contacted their insurance companies and their cell phone carriers and, mm-hmm. you know, to see if they can reduce their payments and save some money. And lo and behold, a lot of people were able to do it, whether it was, you know, a couple dollars here and there to hundreds of dollars. So, you know, one of the things that's actually on my list is to call my car insurance mm-hmm. provider and see if there's a way that we can lower our monthly insurance premiums. Now, I only pay like $228 a month for two cars, which really isn't that bad.
Oh, wow.
But I do think that there is a way that we can actually reduce it lower. My husband and I, we're seasoned drivers. We've got good driving records, no tickets, no points on our driving mm-hmm. record. And plus, we've been with, you know, State Farm for well over 10 years. So I think there's a way that we can mm-hmm. kind of reduce it. And we have our home insurance policy under State Farm. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it doesn't hurt to ask. The worst they can say is no. And if they do, then, you know, the beautiful thing about living in America is that you're free to choose and go somewhere else. So you can always
shop around. It didn't work for me with Sprint. I tried. You know, what cracked me up is they have this new commercial on cut your bill in half.
Mm-hmm.
So I called it and, you know, try and get my bill reduced because my bill, my cell phone bill is ridiculous. It's
mm-hmm.
like a car note.
Mm.
And there was nothing they could do. I'm like, you know what, this is ridiculous. It has to end. So that one didn't work for me, but there's some other things I'm going to try as well. And, you know, the great thing about Tiff is she's not speaking at a high level. She's speaking
mm-hmm.
at a level of she's been there, done that.
Absolutely.
Claim bankruptcy, rebuild her credit from 500 to 700. I don't know what it is now. So she knows of what she speaks, and that's why I am a budgetista believer.
Yes, she is. And for those of you, again, who are interested, check out her challenge. Read her book, The One with Denise, which is an awesome book. And like you said, Robin, it's written in a language that, you know, everybody can easily understand and digest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am also doing another challenge that was started by my Facebook friend. And it is The Miracle Mornings, and it's a book
mm-hmm.
that's written by a gentleman by the name of Hal Elrod, and he is a speaker, and he is a professional business and life coach, and his philosophy is that successful people are successful because they have established a morning routine that sets them up for success. And, you know, he believes that it's, you know, your day is dependent upon how you start your morning. And he has this thing he calls Lifesavers, and there are six activities that he recommends that you do every day. and Lifesavers is an acronym, and the first thing it stands for is S is for silence. So what he says is the first thing, you wake up in the morning and you get up, brush your teeth, drink a glass of water, and that kind of helps you get up. You know, so the brushing of the teeth, you know, you got the maintenance of the toothpaste, so your mouth is alive. Drinking a cold glass of water just kind of, you know, wakes up your system. It gets the blood flowing. And a lot of times, you know, believe it or not, we're a little dehydrated in the morning after going, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 hours without drinking anything because, you know, of course, you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So after you brush your teeth, then the first activity is silence. And he recommends spending about 10 minutes in each of the six different stages. So silence can mean, you know, just doing some meditation. You can do some prayer. Write in a gratitude journal, but it's just kind of being still and just setting the intent for the day. I've been doing meditation. I've been using this app called Headspace. It is totally awesome. I'm using the free portion right now, but it's
mm-hmm.
guided meditation. It's guided meditation. It's 10 minutes. I do it first thing. I really look forward to it. And when I'm done, I feel very calm and very peaceful and not anxious. The next letter is A, and that's for affirmation. And, you know, I believe in positive affirmations. I believe in speaking things into existence. And the thing of affirmations is that you find one that speaks to where you see yourself. So you have to say it as if it has already happened. The one that I've been saying for the majority of this week is, today I am brimming with energy and overflowing with joy. So every day I'm brimming with energy and I'm overflowing with joy. And believe it or not, I have been very energized and very happy, joyful, for the majority of the week. So,
all right.
Yep. A is for the affirmations. V is for visualization. So now that you've said your affirmation, it's time for you to visualize the life. And that's where your vision board comes into play. Or if you have a couple of pictures, you know, post up on, you know, a cork board, you kind of visualize what success looks like for you or achieving your goals. And I like to put descriptive words around my visualization. So once I have, you know, achieved the goal of, let's say, writing a chapter in my book or writing the book, how is that going to make me feel? I'll feel accomplished. I'll feel relieved. You know, I'll be happy. So he talks about visualization. S-A-V-E is for exercise. So you got to get the blood pumping. You can do 10 minutes of exercise. It could be jumping jacks, high knees, sit-ups, jumping rope, running, but get your body moving. S-A-V-E-R. R is for reading. I'm trying to count. So the next activity is doing 10 minutes of reading. And, you know, this is about personal development. So you're developing yourself. So you can read anything from, let's say, maybe, you know, 10 minutes in a book that, you know, talks about your profession. So if you're in real estate, maybe it's a book written by a real estate author. I've been actually reading, as a part of my 10 minutes, it's Joyce Myers. She has a book of daily devotions. And the book that I have, it's on both sides. So on one side, when you flip it one way, it's, you know, starting your day right. And then if you flip it on the back side, it's ending your day right. So she has devotions that you read both in the morning and in the evening. So I do a little bit of that. And then I'm actually reading the book Lean In again.
Oh, okay.
Again, it's about, you know, it's about personal development. And S-A-V-E-R-S, the last S is for scribing. So, and this is where journaling comes in. And again, you know, you can journal about anything. You can talk about your day. You can write a list of things that you need to do. So usually my writing consists of me just kind of writing my to-do list, you know, just kind of doing a brain dump of things that I need to accomplish that day. Robin, I've been doing it now for off and on for about 2 weeks. There have been some days that I haven't done it at all. But I can't tell you, it has been a world of difference. It's been great. I have energy. I think I have a little bit more focus. And I'm actually getting some things done. Praise God. Yep. But it's a great book. For those of you that are interested in finding more about it, I'm actually in the process of writing a blog post to talk about The Miracle Morning, and I'll definitely have links on there to the book and where you can get it. I bought mine from Amazon, and the book is $20, so it's a $20 investment, and it's called The Miracle Morning, The Not-So-Obvious Secret Guaranteed to Transform Your Life Before 8 a.m., and the author is Hal Elrod. But it's a great book. Great book, short read, and great investment, especially if you've got some major goals that you're trying to, you know, accomplish. Or you just want to kind of get out of a rut. You know, you find yourself in a rut and you can't get out. The Miracle Morning will definitely help.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Now, do you have any morning routine that you do that you find kind of helps set the tone of your day and get you going? Uh-oh, are you there?
Uh-oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I said, I'm so horrible in the morning. The first thing I do is reach over for my phone and check social media. So I am really, I remember when we were working with Najam and she said, leave your electronics out of your bedroom. I need to start doing that again. Yeah. So, no, I don't really have a ritual. When you got to be get somebody up for practice at 5:30 in the morning, you just roll out of bed. So, no, but this past week I did do the Daniel fast, and I love that fast. I really do. It brings so much clarity to me. And I use a great book. It's by Susan Gregory. And it has recipes in it. It talks about the reason for doing the Daniel fast, but it also has every day a reading that you should read, and you know, to keep you stronger in, you know, to make your mind stronger, because it's not easy fasting. People can't do it very easily. It's a challenge for me, and I actually have to modify it a little bit because just of my eating habits. I know if I take so much away, I would just not be a very happy person to be around. So my modification is really I don't eat any meat, and I cut back on my sugars, and I try not to eat anything that I really don't need. But sometimes, you know, at 2 o'clock, I need some sugar to keep me motivated to stay at work. So it's something I'm working on, that I'm praying through that one. But it really has been a good week. I did have to go off of it one day because we had a event for Kyle's team, and I was like, I'm not going to go and not enjoy what I'm paying for. So that was the one day that I did go off, but I knew that going into it. So I'll be wrapping it up tomorrow, and then I'll do a regular week. But I probably will still stay away from meat because I cannot – tell you how clear my skin is, Erica. It's amazing. Just after a week, and how my digestive system has changed just after a few days. So it really is amazing to me. You and I have talked about this. I don't think I want to be 100% vegetarian, but I am moving towards that for some health reasons. And I found a great new smoothie. I'm going to put it on my website. It's probably not new to a lot of people, but I was very happy that it tasted amazing with spinach, peaches, pineapple, banana, and ice. That's pretty much the main ingredient. But I never thought I was going to be a spinach smoothie person, and I drink it almost every day.
Wow. Now, do you make your smoothie? Okay, so you blend it in a blender. Do you have, like, one of those Ninjas or Nutribullets?
I have a Ninja.
Okay.
And I was amazed how it chops up or purifies the spinach. I really was. But spinach is mainly water anyway.
Yeah, it's nothing like chewing on your smoothie. Don't want a chewy smoothie. So now, Robin, for those people who aren't familiar with the Daniel fast, what does it consist of? When you say fast, the first thing I think about is just, you know, no food at all. You're just drinking water.
Right.
Is that
right.
what the fast is?
No, essentially. It's no alcohol, no sweets, no meats. So that is what it requires. But it wants you to eat things of the earth as they did in biblical days. So vegetables, fruits, figs, nuts, things like that. But see, and I'm guilty of this. The why, I don't know. That's why I'm reading the book, to find out what is the rationale behind it. I don't really know that piece of it. But I'm getting into it and enjoying learning that part. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm fasting, girl. We fasting at church. Well, why are you fasting? What's the point? So I'm glad to be able to connect with the rationale behind it. So no meats, no sweets, no alcohol.
Okay. And I think that's pretty doable. The sweets will be kind of hard. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, that's pretty doable.
I think so too. And I was amazed at how I can cook dinner for the kids and not even have to worry about eating the meat if I'm physically, if I'm mentally thinking, well, you know, you can't have this. Just, you know, move past this feeling that you want to stuff a piece in your mouth while you're cooking, because I don't know about you, Erica, but I'm guilty. Whenever I cook, I'm putting stuff in my mouth. And I didn't have a problem with that this week.
Good. Good. You were in the right head space.
I was in the right head space. About dang on time.
Well, you know, doesn't matter how long it took you to get there, just as long as you're there.
So, now, I'm going to throw this tidbit out, too. I went to the game last night, Kyla. I went to the game. Jay-Z and Beyonce were there. So, I do not think she is pregnant as it is being reported. And she had on the tightest leather pants I have ever seen with about 8-inch heel stiletto boots.
All right.
So, y'all, now she comes out in the next couple months when, like, she was pregnant. It will shock me because she did not look pregnant whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you know what? There's still people who claim that she wasn't pregnant with Blue Ivy, so.
Exactly.
Maybe they are expecting, but she's not carrying, you know, because, it's Jay-Z and Beyonce, but I'm not going to start no rumor. Well, we are at the 9 o'clock hour. It has been another awesome show. We hope that you enjoyed the conversation. We're going to have cocktails today. We need to do cocktails. We need to make sure that we bring cocktails to the party. Robin, before we go, please let everybody know how they can keep up with you during the week when you're not sitting here chatting with me. Uh-oh. Robin, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Hello? Okay, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I said I would love, love, love for you to like me on Facebook at facebook.com/curvymomager, and also on social media, Instagram and Twitter at curvymomager. And you can always check out the blog, too, to find out what's going on with us.
Awesome. And as always, you can keep up with me on Instagram and Twitter at cocktail_Erica and on Facebook at Cocktails and Conversations with an S, and also the blog cocktailsconversation.com. So with that, we want to wish you all, bid you all an adieu. Have a great Saturday, and we'll see you back here same time, same place. Blog Talk Radio, Cocktail of the Conversation. You guys have a great week, and have a great weekend, Robin.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.